Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are glad you're here. Couple of announcements to start off here. Our offices, of course, will be closed tomorrow for Labor Day. Alana will be in the office on Tuesday this week instead of Monday at her regular hours. Reunion Sunday is coming up, and Becky wanted to say more about that.
All right. I actually have two. Just announcements, I guess. September 3rd, Pastor Jacob and I are excited to get the confirmation classes started. We would like the parents and the faith partners to join us that evening. Some of it will be logistical, business stuff, the schedule, but then we're going to end with a whole bunch of fun games. And that leads me into Reunion Sunday. We're going to play these fun games with you. Trust me, everybody can play, no matter the ability level. And they're just fun minute-to-win-it games with a football theme. So we invite you to join us on Reunion Sunday after that'll be the 9:30 service, I believe. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And after the 9:30 service on Reunion Sunday, we always have a potluck, and there is never a shortage of food, but right now we need some chips and dip. So if you are able to sign up for some of that stuff, sign up is on the back butcher block. And then on Sunday the 21st in the afternoon, Missions is doing an event to do some fundraising for a local community effort, and maybe they can say more about that. But they decided to ask some guy who's also the pastor of the church to do a concert for some reason, so I'm doing a concert, and I believe that's at 2:30 on the 21st. Let's see. Any other announcements this morning?
I just need a couple more liturgists for this month. I'm happy to see that it's all pretty much filled out for the month. I need like two for the 14th Reunion Sunday for both services, and then I need one for the 8:30 on the 28th.
Wonderful. Thank you. If there are no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another.
Good morning. Please stand if you're able and join in the call to worship. Siblings in Christ, let us gather in our full humanity and remember and honor each other's humanity. We remember and honor our own humanity, yearning for love and connection, vulnerable, resilient, creative, and carrying pain. Dreaming of rest and ease and belonging. Under systems of cruelty and unlivable places.
We reach for humanity within our
fully human, fully divine, God incarnate, come and lead us. Please join in the opening prayer. At your holy table, O God, the first are last, and the last are first. Teach us how to share our tables with people who are poor and suffering, so that all may have a foretaste of the heavenly banquet to come at the resurrection of the righteous. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 411. This is How Firm a Foundation.
Let us join in the prayer of confession. Our world overflows with stories, Jesus. So many lives, so many ways of being human. Why are we satisfied with so few? Why do we keep telling the same stories over and over of the wealthy and powerful and beautiful? Why do we keep carelessly pass by the rich and unpredictable stories of the unseen? Amen. My life out of nothing. God, forgive our narrow interests and our lazy entertainments. Make us biographers of the least who listen to the untold stories of the shadow people and bring them into the light. Give us the curiosity and the restlessness to search out the forgotten, the neglected, the unwanted, the discarded, and the worn out. Help us to learn their legends and acknowledge their place in the history of humanity.
Beloved of God, we are always given new opportunities to change our perspectives. Our human nature may be to judge, but it doesn't have to win the day. Be encouraged by the grace of God, who can change our hearts. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
The reading of today's scripture comes from Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 3, 5 through 8, and 15 through 16. Keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them, and people who are mistreated as if you were in their place. Your way of life should be free from the love of money, and you should be content with what you have. After all, he has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. This is why we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise through him, which is the fruit from our lips that confess his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have, because God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Amy. Our media song for today is called Do the Right Thing.
Do the right thing, do the right thing. Do it all the time, do it all the time. Make yourself right, never mind them. Don't you know you're not the only one suffering? Do the right thing, do the right thing. Do it all the time, do it all the time. Make yourself right, never mind them. Don't you know you're not the only one suffering? Do the right thing, do the right thing. Do it all the time, do it all the time. Make yourself right, never mind them. Don't you know you're not the only one suffering?
I see you up again, wandering so diligent. The crossing your T's as though it weren't irrelevant. They say formality, this is what they really meant. They could be the walk, we could be the pavement. Do the right thing, do the right thing. Do it all the time, do it all the time. Make yourself right, never mind them. Don't you know you're not the only one suffering?
So what you're up against, all the disingenuous. They wave you along and say there's always room for us. But we know better than that to take them serious. Still don't let them make you bitter in the process.
And when the light is on,
do the right thing.
Thanks to Chris Van Buren for putting that together. Even though she's working away at the apple orchard today, she was able to put that together for us. So thank you, Chris. Friends, let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So during my first year of education at Eden Theological Seminary, as part of my educational experience, I worked as an intern for a nonprofit organization in the area called the Institute for Peace and Justice. Their work mostly revolved around responding to various social justice issues in and around the St. Louis area and beyond. One of their most important programs that I was asked to help with was a series of programs for women who had recently been incarcerated and were preparing to re-enter society. The programs specifically centered around nonviolent conflict resolution and relationship skills so that they could re-enter society with better emotional resources. And before that time, I hadn't interacted much with people who were just coming out of prison. I was pretty naive and even sheltered from these kinds of situations. When I told this story to my preaching colleague, Chris Davis, at the Beaver Dam Presbyterian Church that I talk to every week, I compared this experience to being a fish out of water. But it was part of the experience for me to widen my perspective to the needs of those folks. The women I was sitting across the table with had committed all manner of crimes, and at first, I didn't really know how to interact with them in ways that both affirmed their dignity and maintained good boundaries. I was pretty nervous in my first interactions with them. But I learned very quickly that in many ways, they wanted what all of us want: reconciliation with their families when there's been some distance, another chance at making our way in the world when we've messed up, the opportunity to offer forgiveness and also be forgiven. And as part of this year-long internship, I was privileged to work with multiple groups of women preparing to re-enter society through these programs. Now, it's been long enough that I don't remember their names, but many of their stories will be forever inscribed in my heart, and I learned so much about our common humanity and caring for one another through these experiences. And because the criminal justice system is such an important part of this city's economy, I would imagine several of you have stories which are very similar to mine. Many of you may have felt naive at some point, or maybe not known how to be in relationship with someone in a situation like that. But I think our text for today offers some guidance on how we can love each other in this complicated world, and how our own fish out of water stories can be instructive for our faith journeys. One of the first things I love about this text is that right away is that it commands humanity and humility. The editors of the Westminster Study Bible remind its readers that the author of Hebrews, who is unknown, writes to encourage disheartened followers of Jesus who faced opposition, loss of possessions, and societal shame due to their faith. And because they know what it was like to suffer, this author tells them to use that experience to offer hospitality, practical, tangible care to the last and the least. In verse 2, the text says, "Don't neglect to open your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it." Now, not all of us are going to be given the opportunity to literally open our homes to strangers, but maybe we can open our hearts. Perhaps we can open up the home of our hearts because there's something we can learn from the beautiful, messed up strangers that we encounter. Because if we're honest with ourselves, none of our hands are clean either. That's why the text also says, "Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them. And remember the people who are mistreated as if you were in their place." I reflected often with my internship supervisor about the judgments that I so often had and the preconceived notions I came in with about the inhumane treatment and why people were in prison. We talked a lot about the inhumane treatment of the prisoners in St. Louis, something that I think that the commentator Madison N. Pierce echoes. In biblical times, she says, prisoners endured extreme conditions like near total darkness, causing blindness, and restraints so severe that they lost the ability to walk. The author of Hebrews urged the people to show deep empathy and hospitality to those incarcerated and mistreated, recognizing that their survival often depends on support from others. Several of you have also told me stories about your work in the criminal justice system, and you've reflected back to me how your own assumptions had to change. In a similar way to the criminal justice system, however, I'm sure that many of you who are teachers or other public servants have had to check your assumptions at the door, remembering to show empathy and compassion. You know, I wonder, as you're hearing me say this, what kinds of things you might think about and what kinds of stories might pop into your head. After all, maybe some of you have experienced it yourself, being judged or mistreated because of things you couldn't control or because of decisions you made in your life that other people thought were wrong. But this passage from the book of Hebrews reminds us that we must always love as we have been loved, because God loves all of us so deeply, even as so many of us have done things we regret in this life. And God doesn't write us off because of all those things. Indeed, the same God who loves you and me so deeply also loves people who have committed crimes or let somebody down in a real way that fractured relationships and eroded trust and jaded someone's perspective of the world. So when I think about today's text from Hebrews. I remember what God calls us to do with our very lives. Verse 16 says, "Don't forget to do good and share what you have, because God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices." Remember that spiritual sacrifices probably would have been a revolutionary idea to people in biblical times, because sacrifices more often involved the sacrifice of an animal as a burnt offering. But we remember that because of the life and the way of Jesus, the old sacrifices and burnt offerings were no longer needed. Instead, we are called to live in goodness, to share what we have, and to resist judgment, because that is what our God desires. The sacrifice of praise that Jesus desires is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Said another way, a sacrifice of praise to Jesus is caring for the oppressed, speaking for the marginalized, and instead of a love of money, simply living simply so that others may simply live, in the words of my Eton Seminary professor, Clint McCann. God doesn't care how much money we have or how righteous we are. God only cares about what's in our hearts and the care that we have for one another. And it seems that so many people in this world forget that in our capitalistic society, we're told that we're only successful if we have a pile of money. But Jesus shows us another way. That our worth isn't in what we earn, but in how we love. This is the good news, my friends. There are so many opportunities to experience the grace of God through another person. There are so many ways we can live and learn from each other. We can turn our own fish out of water experiences, the times we've been ignorant to the world's suffering, into a renewed perspective that will not only help our faith grow, but help the realm of God become near among us. As our media song says today, we're called to do the right thing, not just because it makes us feel good, but because there's a higher calling. We're surrounded by others who suffer every day. The song reminds us not to become bitter by the state of the world, but to shine our light so that the world becomes better through our words and actions. And I imagine the first followers of Jesus, the original audience of this text, may have remembered teachings that you and I know well. When Jesus says, "I was in prison and you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And I come that you live life to the fullest." And you already know how to embody these teachings. You are a creative and compassionate people with hearts of love for one another and grace aplenty for those who have fallen short of what they might have expected for themselves or what God expects of us. Because you have hearts like these, you can embody this call from the book of Hebrews so beautifully. So together, let's continue to offer our lives as a sacrifice of praise to the God who will never let us go. Let's continue to offer hope where there is hopelessness and justice where there is no justice. And let's do this not because it's the right thing to do, but because we've been there ourselves. May being a fish out of water mobilize us to more fully embody our calling and live in this world with hearts of love. And the next time you feel like a fish out of water might be the Spirit's call to love more deeply and to understand a person's experience more fully. And if these words be true, we say thanks be to God. Amen. So as we recognize Labor Day and all of the different ways that work enriches our lives, I wanted to share a really beautiful little song that that I got a chance to record for the composer, my friend Amanda Udis Kessler. And she wrote this congregational song called We Labor for the Day. And I wanted to, I thought you might like to sing it with me. So there are five verses, but don't worry, they're really short. And the words will be up on the screen. I will, I'll sing the first couple of verses. So you can get a sense of how it goes, and just join me as you feel comfortable. Continue in the spirit of prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and love today. Let's take a time of silence as we remember those folks. So Paul Hertel asks for prayers. He just recently had foot surgery and continues to be hospitalized and is in a lot of pain. So if you'll join me in praying for Paul by saying, God in your if I say God in your mercy, I invite you to respond, receive our prayer for Paul and for Paul's medical team and for his wife Josie. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today? Not seeing anything here. Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer together. Good and gracious God, thank you for gathering us here from wherever we may be. Thank you for reminding us of the vulnerability of your creation and the people we have around us. We give you thanks for honest work. For honest love. And for the hopefulness that the people I am privileged to serve among embody so well. And yet we know there are needs in this world that you call us to respond. For people like Paul, recovering from surgeries. People in our congregation who are dealing with cancer and other long-term illnesses. For those in nursing homes, care facilities, or otherwise unable to leave their homes as regularly. We ask that you would empower us to be your hands and feet, to pay them a visit, to offer them care and love in their difficult situations. And we also widen our need to the wider world, to our need to respond to the wider world. Those who are incarcerated, that we may bring justice in terms of fair treatment, in terms of rehabilitation into society. In terms of liberation, however liberation is possible. We also ask that you help us be with those who are experiencing homelessness, food insecurity, poverty, and all sorts of discrimination in this world that divides us and them. Far too often. In all your names and in the name of the one who showed us the way, we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may share a gift through the offering plate as ushers come around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. In the prayer of dedication. Holy One, we acknowledge how vulnerable we are. We are shaped and influenced by so many forces, some chosen, many not. At times we lose ourselves. We choose ego over connection and humility. We live out of fear of scarcity rather than a spirit of generosity. Empire. And still, we long to live in the direction of love. Imperfectly, but honestly, lift these offerings to the flourishing of humanity. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 391, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? Friends, receive these words of benediction. Be careful, beloveds, of anything that compromises on humanity. Institutions or beliefs, strategies of change or powers that entice. God takes on flesh in our humanity, not despite it. In our full humanity, let us be changed by one another. In our full humanity, let us turn toward compassion and care. In our full humanity, let us protect our neighbors, targeted by the inhumane. God has made sacred all flesh on the earth. Let us love and cherish it all. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.